Long COVID's adding strain to support services for those suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome. For decades, those with the condition have been fighting for it to be recognised. They are now calling on the government to reclassify it as a disability, presenting a petition today to Parliament. Fiona Charlton was diagnosed with chronic fatigue in 2008 and is also the president of Complex Chronic Illness Support and the Associated New Zealand ME Society. She joins me now. Good evening, Fiona.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. A momentous day for you. First, though, can we start on your own experience with chronic fatigue? How did it all start and what were some of the early signs?
Okay. When I was younger, I developed glandular fever, Epstein-Barr virus. And for a good 2 years after it, I would struggle with energy. I wouldn't be able to keep up with classmates in the playground and that sort of thing. And eventually, I started to improve, but I never got back to what I was like before it. And then moving on into my 20s, I ended up with food poisoning and then shingles, and then eventually it developed into ME. So, yes, I have been chronically ill with ME since 2008 now.
And so you were diagnosed back in 2008, right? Is there still a stigma there, though, despite the fact that your diagnosis came, well, over 12 years ago?
Yes, there is, unfortunately, and even the lead medical associations still believe that it's a psychological rather than a biomedical disease, despite all the latest research that has been produced over the last decade to 20 years, showing the malfunctioning immune system, showing brain abnormalities, neuroendocrine disorders. It's all there in the research. It's all there in the symptoms that are manifest as a result of the illness. But yeah, the stigma is still there, unfortunately, and that's something that I do as a volunteer for these non-profits, is to raise awareness and to re-educate medical professionals, general public, family whānau and carers of people with ME.
How does it make you feel when some parties, quite powerful parties, still suggest it is psychological?
It's frustrating, to say the least, and disappointing, particularly as the evidence is there. And we provide the research to them quite regularly. And, we have leading experts like Professor Warren Tate and Dr. Ros Vallings. Dr. Anna Books now has joined the party as a result of long COVID. And they're all showing the evidence through their research.
And so this reclassification to a disability, which you're petitioning for, how would that help people with the condition?
It would really legitimise the condition and validate it as a disabling condition. It also would enable us to have protection have our rights protected as disabled people. Thing that people don't realise is that it is disabling, and for a good 25% of all people with ME, they are actually bedbound and may actually require in-home nursing care. And for a good 60%, we're housebound. So we're unable to go and maintain employment and all the normal activities that our healthy counterparts can do. So what it would mean for us reclassifying would mean access to support services that we don't currently have access to. The criteria is very high, and it's currently either for people over 65 or for people who need 7 days a week care. But we have, a good 60% of our people who may only need 3 to 4 days of help, just helping with washing windows or making meals or, doing some of the housework. And that would really help improve the quality of life of people with ME because they only have a certain window of energy in a given day to do things. So if some of the, you know, chores and things like that, day-to-day stuff could be taken care of, then they could focus on more meaningful things in their lives that they could do.
And we mentioned long COVID at the top, right? How has that impacted access and the capacity of support services?
Well, all of the non-profits around the country have taken on long COVID clients. So long COVID clients have looked around, and obviously there wasn't any support except for the ME charities. And so we've all taken on clients, provided them with information, examples of how to manage their symptoms and that kind of thing. But obviously we're all stretched, our resources are stretched, and all non-profits are underfunded. We are expecting at least 10% of all cases with long COVID to actually fit the criteria for a diagnosis of ME as well. So it means that prevalence is increasing. So we definitely, you know, we need more funding, we need more resources, we need help from the government to provide those resources and services.
Thanks, Fiona. That is Fiona Charlton there. She is the president of Complex Chronic Illness Support.